This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bulls beat writer from the Chicago Tribune, KC Johnson. He is on Twitter at KCJHoops. He joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. What do you make all this time of year, KC? I know we don't really know what to believe. We are sort of conditioned to let it all kind of wash over us until they actually make a pick. Can you discern anything meaningful from what we've been hearing and seeing?
A lot of 19-year-olds in this draft. That's my overall impression. I mean, obviously a lot of talented freshmen coming out. But this draft to me, guys, has the feel of somebody popping from beyond the top three or four picks. And, you know, obviously you saw that last year most spectacularly with Donovan Mitchell. And this just has the feel of somebody popping past the three or four picks. And you got to find out who that guy is. And obviously with the Bulls draft at seven, you have a possibility to make that happen there. Somebody's going to be falling, you know, of the bigger names and kind of the high upside, high risk players like a Trae Young or like a Michael Porter Jr. or like a Mo Bamba. One of those guys is going to be falling, and then I'm going to be as intrigued as anybody as to whether the Bulls reconcile that pick versus their more traditional drafting profiles of the Wendell Carter Jr.'s or the Mikal Bridges, etc. So I think Thursday is going to be a really intriguing day.
KC, great to talk with you, man. I wonder, with Michael Porter Jr., how important or how possible is it to see through some of the jostling back and forth, some of the smoke with a workout thing that we've had going on? How possible is that to do given his camp, his people coming into the draft? And do you feel as though NBA teams themselves who are in that range have gotten anywhere close to seeing through it?
Well, first of all, have you done any sporting goods shopping lately, Connor?
Yeah, actually, plenty of sporting goods. I haven't seen you at the – by the way, did you buy the really expensive gloves for the kid? Is he not quite there?
They're not quite
there. Wait, what's going on here?
I ran into KC.
It's an inside joke, Dan. It's an inside joke.
I ran into him on a very important day a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months and a day ago, actually, at a sporting goods store. And he's out there buying, batting gloves for the kid? We're both
batting gloves for something near and dear to Dan's heart, Wells Park Baseball.
So yeah, Sky Point.
All right, enough inside joke stuff. Back to Michael Porter Jr. What I would say is this. First, I think it needs to be stressed that the agency has been very, very transparent. I mean, the dude just basically woke up with a sore hip, and, you know, you got teams flying in from all over the country or planning to fly in from all over the country for today's workout. And the agency was like, hey, hold up here. We got to see how the hip feels as the day develops. And then, you know, they ran an MRI on him, and the hip got better as the day went on. So they're like, all right, let's do this. This is the second pro day. This is for the interested lottery team. So there's no smoke screen here. He woke up with a sore hip, and now it's fit enough for him to work out today for the interested lottery team. So the thing about Mike, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Question. No, I was going to ask, if you're working him out, if you are a team, what drills, what do you want to see him do that you need to see?
I would probably say quick jumping, you know, repeated jumps, things like that. I mean, the back, you know, he told us that the combine is not an issue anymore. He's been full go for a while, and that's kind of, I guess, why this sore hip developed, because he's been working out so hard. I'll tell you this, Dan, the sense I've gotten, particularly, you know, I'm not talking to the Bulls much these days because they go on lockdown, but talking to other teams, more people are interested in sitting down and talking to this kid, because for whatever reason, and it's weird because you do a Google search on this or talk to people, and it's not even quite sure where this comes from, but there's this kind of bubbling reputation of him being possibly a bad fit, and not even like as a bad teammate, but just more as like a player who kind of doesn't make people around him better. And I think teams are really interested in talking to him about the interview process. I mean, the medicals obviously are very important because this is a guy who was projected to be potentially the number one overall pick before the back surgery. But I think people are just as intrigued by sitting down and talking with him today. And I know some people got that chance at the combine. The Bulls were not one of those teams. So I know an interview is high on their priority list.
I guess, you know, whether it's report, the timing of a flip-flop on the workout, and like you mentioned, it seems to be all above board with the health. But we also had Luka Doncic a couple of weeks ago say a little bit about maybe not coming out of the draft. And indeed, he is coming out now. I see that Sacramento Kings pick at number two and panic for everybody who's around that range. Like, I can't blame anybody for doing what they can, given the leverage they're allowed to have in the draft, for trying to stay away from that pick. I wonder if you get the sense that people with advice, with lines on these players, are trying to let them know the same thing.
Well, the Kings always seem to be in the mix of nuttiness, so yeah, that's going to be a big pick there too. I mean, look, I still think at the end of the day, you got Ayton, Bagley, Jaren Jackson, and Doncic going top four. That's just my gut feel. So then you're getting into who's at five with the Mavericks. They're mostly linked to Bamba. You know, Porter's got the intriguing talent, and then Young's been linked consistently to the Magic because they need a point guard. So that's what I mean. It's not, to me, either Bamba or Porter is going to be there at seven, along with the so-called safer picks that typically fit the Bulls' drafting profile. Porter Jr., I'm sorry, Carter Jr., Mikal Bridges. So I don't know. I don't have a sense of what the Bulls are going to do there. I know that today is an important day for them with Michael Porter Jr. They'll be there this afternoon. But there's going to be a lot of intrigue between now and Thursday.
Yeah, Michael Bridges would be the bullsiest Bulls pick that ever bullsed.
I mean, I
look at that. It just that has Bulls draft pick just with blinking, flashing lights all over it, which is why I'm probably certain it's going to happen. But I don't know where the rumor started, KC, but there was somebody put it out there about potentially they package their other first round pick and Bobby Portis to maybe get to swap picks to move up. It should also be unlike them. I mean, they've made some risky moves on draft night, but it's never been to go grab somebody of whom they've been that certain. Do you see that?
Well, McDermott would be an example of that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, they climb into the lottery for that, right? Yeah, that was smart. But eventually they turned that into campaign, so it's really that's been brilliant from
yeah, but that was low lottery. I know what you're saying. They have been aggressive. The Dang one in 2004 was aggressive. Oh, that was a cash transaction mostly. If you want Mo Bamba, you got to go get him. And there has been some buzz around the league that they're interested in Mo Bamba. But I would agree with you that flies in the face of what they have said publicly about this rebuild. They have said, we're not in a position to give up future assets. We're going to take this slowly. We're going to do this patiently. We're going to do this properly. So, and it does kind of fly in the face of how they have operated, historically. This managerial regime is operated historically. I've gotten less sense. To me, Bridges seemed like just the slam dunk pick a while ago. My pick, and I put this in a mailbag, and I'll do it again next week when we do our mock draft. I think they're going to go Wendell Carter Jr. at the end of the day. That's just my guess. It's a total guess. I'm not reporting that. That's just my gut feel. I think they'll do the big with the seven pick, and they'll address the wing with the 22nd pick. I think Wendell also fits a Bulls draft profile, but I just think he's a guy that fits alongside Lauri Markkanen very well. He's very solid. He's got, you know, probably the highest floor of the top 10 picks. Probably not the best ceiling, but just to me, he just fits alongside Lauri Markkanen really well. And I think that just fits with their philosophy with this rebuild is just kind of doing this methodically as they go along.
How does their level of faith, whatever that level is, their faith in Zach LaVine affect their draft pick?
The Zach thing is in a bubble as far as this draft. You know, when you trade Jimmy Butler for that package that you got, you know you're going to be going into restricted free agency this year with a guy coming off an ACL. Yeah, I do think it'll be a difficult negotiation at times, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of things are in the Bulls' favor, the biggest of which is this is not going to be a good summer for free agents, and there are also very few teams with cap space. So they have a good relationship, a very long-standing relationship with Zach's representation. I guarantee negotiations will hit a snag. There'll be a headline one day. This is fall, you know, the sky is falling, but both sides are motivated to get a deal done, and you don't trade Jimmy Butler to let Zach LaVine walk in restricted free agency, at least from my estimation. So I think at the end of the day, they get something done, and the draft is separate from that. I mean, when they made this trade, this draft was the final piece to it, and yes, they thought they'd be getting a top three pick. They thought they'd be a lot worse than they were. They're not in that position. They finished sixth, and they dropped a slot in the draft ladder, so they're looking at seven. But this is the final piece of that trade, and they feel like they're going to hit, you know, a solid double probably with that seventh pick. If you want to hit a home run, you got to trade up, and I just don't see them doing that.
So you say you're not reporting it officially, but your gut tells you Wendell Carter Jr. Is he a player for a different NBA, or is he can he be versatile enough to live in this league?
Yeah, I mean, the comp you get, and, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard it, is Al Horford, and that to me is, you know, that's fantastic.
That's timber, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. And another comp you hear is Elton Brand, and he'd probably be decent in today's NBA, not as good as Horford. But, okay, yeah, tall timber. And Horford, look, here's the other thing. Horford was a way more accomplished college player. Now, obviously, he was there longer, but one thing that jumps out in talking to Wendell, we've been able to twice, once at the combine and then once at his individual workout at the Advocate Center. He's got, beyond the confidence, he's got a demeanor about him that is like, okay, you guys are doubting me, just wait till I get to this next level, because I sacrificed my game more than anybody at Duke last season for Bagley. And he doesn't even do it in a mean-spirited way. He seems like a really good teammate, talks about the joy of setting screens, et cetera. But he certainly has a confidence about him that you guys may doubt me. Wait till I get to this next level. And so, yeah, the comp you get is Horford, and I think that fits really well in today's NBA. And again, I keep coming back to this. I don't know if the Bulls will say this. I don't think they'd ever say this publicly. My sense is they recognize that Lauri Markkanen is the best player on the team. And I think Wendell Carter Jr. absolutely makes Lauri Markkanen a better player. Here's the other thing. You already have a situation where you got guys that need the ball. Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't need the ball. And you already have Zach, Chris, and Lowry who need the ball. Wendell Carter Jr. can be effective without the ball. So I that's why so many things, just to me, you keep pointing back to Wendell Carter Jr. being the pick.
KC, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
That is KC Johnson.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.